Hey, it's Janessa.
And I'm Katie.
And this is
Say What?
Hey guys, so it's Janessa. I'm back. Katie is not here. So I have a special friend of mine, Amanda. She's here. We're going to talk about all things women empowerment. I mean, probably some crazy shit because that's just what we talk about.
Always when we're talking.
all the things. So I grew up with Amanda and we have some fun stories, but yeah. So
I'm excited. Yeah. I mean, really, the stories are more like just, it's like when you get in a room and you are talking about your childhood and you're like, oh, remember Steph? We did that. Remember we did that?
Yeah.
It's like, that's a long time. I mean, that's probably at least 25 years.
It's a long time.
Oh, God. I'm not dating myself. Just kidding.
We're not old. Come on.
No. I'm a toddler. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Well, mine's not a toddler necessarily anymore.
Yeah.
I guess maybe.
No, I'm gonna skip the whole I have an almost 21-year-old, and I guess skip the I'm gonna be a grandma conversation. I don't know. You know.
Oh yeah, we could just touch on all of that. So Faith is gonna be 21, right? This.
Yeah,
July.
Yeah, Faith will be 21 for sure. Yeah, in July.
Oh my
god. My little cancer baby.
Oh,
I know.
My
I can't believe it.
Your twin.
I know.
Well, Harlan's
really
a twin
is.
Too, also.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
Yeah.
Like my little blonde hair, blue eyed little Aryan children.
I know. And then there's Riley, she looks just like her dad.
I know. Then I always call her, she has hot fudge brownie eyes. She's got like that beautiful like olive skin and she's got that brown blonde hair. Oh, they're just beautiful. I just love them. They literally are the light of my life.
Yeah.
You know, like I never thought I'd be all the mom, be like, oh, my purpose is my children, but holy mackerel, it's definitely turned into that.
I mean, you had Faith when you were a baby, though, so it's like you guys have grown together.
Yeah, teen mom.
Seriously.
Yeah, so she's been, you know what, we had Wine Wednesday last night. We sat down, and I mean, I know she's only 20, but you know, Wine Wednesday.
Oh, who cares? You know,
and
she's drinking.
Yeah, it's fine, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, they drink at 18 and 16 in Germany and Europe and all that, so what's 20? And we were talking, I was like, it's so bizarre how her and I have grown up together, but realistically, like, she's just turned into my best friend. And she's like, mine too, mom. Like, you know, we're getting ready to move and she's going to be coming with us, you know, since she graduated college this year. So she's like, yeah, I can't be away from my mom. Like, sorry.
That's so exciting.
It's a really beautiful relationship.
But she loves, like, she loves Nashville, right? So even if she moved and then she finds a place down there, then it'll be perfect.
Yeah, I had to find a house that was not as close to Nashville. I cannot be hanging out over there too long. But it's a good hour and a half. It's a good little ride.
So an hour and a half. So Amanda and I grew up in California, Southern California, right? She's still in California. She is transitioning to Tennessee. And, so an hour and a half, California time traffic-wise, or like Idaho, an hour and a half, that's mileage. That's just straight road.
Yeah, that's just it. Yeah. There's no traffic out there, right? Like, I mean, they've got 2-lane highways and 5 o'clock rush hour is, oh my gosh, you might see 5 cars.
Yeah.
You know, where it might take me an hour and a half to go 20 miles in Southern California. So
easy.
No, thank you. I cannot wait to get out of there. But that's scary too, right? Changes. I mean, you remember when you moved, but change, I'm moving across the country, right? I'm leaving everybody. I'm leaving the girls behind, right? Not the little one. Obviously, I'll take her with me, but yeah, I'm leaving the almost 18 and 21-year-old behind, and then starting over, bringing the husband 2.0 and the small child and, you know, setting up shop.
Starting
middle
a new
of the country.
Life.
Yeah, starting a new life. Yeah.
So, okay, when do you guys move?
Well, we close escrow Tuesday. So we close escrow on our Tennessee home Tuesday. We are in escrow here for our California house. We close on March 8th. And we're going to be leaving, you know, mid-March. So, yeah, we're on the road, man. It's going to be wild.
It is.
It's hard, though, because, you know, you develop a tribe. I mean, you've done a really great job setting up shop in Idaho, you know, and this is my hometown. This is everything. And I've set up a tribe and, you know, worked with women for the last, you know, at least 15, 17 years. And so it's going to be, I don't know, scary and exciting all at the same time to find new roots.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's overwhelming. Like, once you, Harlow's young, so you don't have to worry about the whole school setup, but that almost brings more people in, like, friend-wise, so you get to meet more parents and all that kind of stuff. But you're going to be in a little neighborhood. True. And
yeah, it's super cute. It's like 12,000 population. Oh my gosh, I don't even know what that's going to feel like.
I know. That's so crazy. So tiny. That's Laverne, you know, back in the day.
Back in the day, yeah, when we grew up. Now it's insane.
I know.
We were, you know, there before the freeway went through that town.
I remember that. It would take forever. Mm-hmm. Foothill and Boulevard, just mm-hmm. all the way to Rancho. Yep. I felt like it was forever.
Yep. It did seem like it was forever. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, so now crazy. It just goes straight through. So crazy. Those freeways, and they just brought the traffic in. And that's another reason we're leaving traffic in. I don't know why people keep coming here. There's no room, but it'll be a great change for our entire family. You know, I think the biggest thing for us is I strive for peace, and I mean, who doesn't, right? Striving for peace. And then from there, you can have a little bit more downtime. Quality of life is a lot better. You know, there isn't so much hustle and bustle. You know, my main focus will be my family and, you know, getting acclimated with the city. And I don't know, right? It's an adventure unknown. I have no idea.
That's the exciting part. It's like finding the grocery store, right? The stupid things. The grocery store. Where are you going to shop? Where are you going to go get clothes? Where are you going to go, you know, the adventures that you have to take just to find, like, your everyday staples. The gas station.
Well, I did find a veterinarian clinic, so it's called My Best Friend. It's so cute.
Oh.
So, you know.
And how is he doing? He's
fantastic. He's 145 pounds and going to be 2 years old in May. He's fantastic.
Okay,
yeah.
I have a question. He's an English Mastiff, right?
He's a Bull Mastiff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alan keeps sending me these pictures, but I'm like, I refuse to buy a dog. I want to rescue a dog. There's a family in Emmett that has a whole bunch of them. I'm like, God, stop sending them to me. They're so cute. Mm-hmm.
They're so stinking cute. John and I were talking a couple weeks ago. And he's like, I think our next stop, we're going to get another bulldog. And I'm like, oh, man. I said, I don't know if I can handle another bulldog. You know, it was hard losing both of those little guys, you know, big guys, big girls, whatever. But, we'll see. I said, well, if we get another dog, it'll be in Tennessee because, you know, it gets cold out there.
Yeah.
So they got to be acclimated to that. I can't be bringing a SoCal sunshine dog.
Our dogs hated the snow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was more so our boy dog, but Lloyd was
like,
"What is this?"
He won't even go outside to pee when it's windy and sprinkling. Yeah. He's so bougie.
Yeah,
he's
so
my dog.
Cute though.
Yeah, him and Harlow are best buds.
Yeah,
you know, so they have a great relationship, which is really exciting.
So, okay, what about taking him camping? Because that's my concern. I told Alan, we need a dog that we can take camping.
Loves it.
Does he?
If we're outside and the trailer's open, he's inside the trailer. He loves it.
Okay.
Yeah, he's literally the best. He's the best guy. He just hangs out in camp and goes inside when he needs to. And we'll go off and do our own thing for a little while. And he hangs out in the trailer and, you know, come back, open the door, comes back outside. Like, he's just, I mean, if there's ever been a perfect dog, he's definitely it. So I definitely struck like lucky on that one.
Is he okay with other dogs?
He loves them. Loves them.
Okay.
Yeah. Loves the cat. Yeah. Just wants to play with the cat. Lays next to the cat. I'm telling you, there's something about him. I think he might be human. He might be a reincarnation of somebody, but he's fantastic.
He's so freaking cute though. Oh,
I know.
Just his little face. Okay. Yeah. Let
me see
him.
I don't know if you can see him, but.
Oh, okay. Churchy. Just... So cute.
Just lays next to me. So cute.
He looks just like Lloyd. Oh, so crazy. So mm-hmm. crazy. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I mean, we wanted to talk kind of like about women empowerment and all the things that you've done, because I feel like you're such a good leader when it comes to like women and making them feel like, you know, finding that power within them and just helping them find their voice. So if you want to talk about some of the things you started doing.
Sure. Yeah. I always go back to like this thought. And I don't know where I heard it a long time ago. It might have been my grandma or somebody. And it was always like, you know, you heard that old saying, like, call your mom. Like, call your mom. You know, she's thinking about you. She needs you. And then I think it was, I had to be my grandma's buddy because I was super little. She's like, you know, you always need to make sure you call your sister. And, you know, your mom at some point is going to, you know, leave and she won't always be there. But, you know, your sister is your sister. And so there was always, and you remember even in high school, right? Like, you know, I bounced around, right? I had 10 different social circles. I never just stayed put. And so there was something about that where maybe that was a protection clause, or maybe that was something that I was kind of just, I didn't want to get super close to people. Then I was a young mom and I didn't really have a lot of like strong friendships at that point. Nobody that was moms, right? They were all older and so forth. And so I think creating a sisterhood was so important to me as I got married and then got divorced, you know, and the girls were super little. And so from there, and let's be real, like, you know, I want to save my marriage as much as the next person. So, you know, best way to do it, let's have another baby.
Yeah. Great idea, right? Oh, maybe not so much.
Let's do that. You know, and then when that didn't work, you know, bring on the sex toys. Like, let's try all the avenues, you know, that we needed to do. And that's really kind of how it started in the empowerment side was, you know, we friends would just come over, sit around, and two things we normally talk about is, right, sex and boys. So it just kind of seemed like a natural flow for me. And anyone that's, you know, ever joined, you know, direct sales or MLM or anything along that knows it. Like, you know, there's money to be made in any industry if you put the time and effort into it. And it just seemed very natural for me to fall into, hey, guess what? I'm going to sell, you know, adult toys. And that was challenging because, you know, I worked for a very religious and conservative organization at the time. So, you know, I had to keep my two lives separate. But the coaching side of it was that I think that was just a bonus, right? The takeaway, the connections and the relationships that I met over the last, oh gosh, at least 15 years, you know, was huge. You know, and I wanted people to be able to find their voices, right? Especially women, create that sister relationship. And, you know, I use sister as a very, not even a loose term, but like a fluid term, right? Your sister should be someone that you can count on, that you can call, that you can love and trust and talk shit and tell stories and be your, you know, messy bun, no makeup, probably from last night because haven't showered, that person, you know, not someone that's going to sit there and judge you. And I felt like the space that I created for these women became that. And who doesn't want that, right? Everyone wants to feel safe in a space. Then it was the ask for what you want. You know, like if I can empower them to find a voice, and we're just talking about, you know, obviously sex in this term, but if you can find a voice and be comfortable with yourself, well, that can take you anywhere in life, you know, not just out of the bedroom, but in any relationship and in your career, creating boundaries, healthy boundaries with family and friends and so forth. I mean, it just, I don't know. I think it just kind of spiraled into something that just became amazing. So I stayed with it. I stayed with it and I still do. I mean, you know, now I do life coaching and, you know, help not just women, but couples as well, you know, in different areas and health and finances. And, you know, I got out of the toy industry,
which is so crazy.
I got some good recommendation.
It's just, so yeah, what made you do that? Because I feel like if anybody knows Amanda, they know that she's like, she says what she wants. She says what she's thinking. She is mm-hmm. open to listen to your side, but that doesn't mean it's going to change your mind. I feel like you've always had, I mean, I don't feel, I know you've always had like these leadership skills, even at a young age. You just didn't really give a fuck what anybody thought. It was kind of like, I'm here.
I definitely did. Yeah, I did give a fuck. Yeah,
well, but there, it didn't, from the outside, it didn't appear that like you were like, okay, I'm going to live my life anyways, whether you like me or not, I'm going to continue to live my life.
Yeah. Yep,
right.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going
to
sulk.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
like, have you seen Encanto yet?
It's so cute. But
oh,
firstborn, are you talking
so
about
cute.
The, what's
yeah,
her?
Louisa.
Yes.
Right.
I feel
yeah,
it.
Totally. Right. I feel like every like, probably oldest sister
yeah.
feels that way, you know, like the weight of the family's on your shoulders and you just do what you need to do and you just, you don't complain about it. You press forward.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were Louisa before Louisa was cool. You know, thank you, Lin-Manuel. But it really is that, you know, you just, I don't know, you just develop into that person. And for me, it was, nobody was going to change my mind. I mean, I'll listen to other people's opinions and so forth and, you know, make the best decision for my life, but no one was going to ever have that kind of power over me.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, there's a lot of, you know, obviously we all carry our baggage and our trauma from, you know, childhood and teenage years, relationships into adulthood. But it's, I think it's okay. Well, you're not a victim. Like, okay, move forward, get over it, move on with your life. You know, we all have had shit happen to us. So that's why I think I became who I became.
Yeah.
Or still am becoming, because I feel like I'm still 12 years old.
Right. I mean, don't we
I'm
all.
Still learning and growing.
Don't, but yeah. I mean, we have these conversations all the time, but yeah. Okay. What made you leave? Because I feel like when you did the sex toy thing, you make women feel so comfortable with like, hey, this is what this does. It's okay to feel good. It's okay to be into yourself. That's okay. Mm-hmm. Like you just made them feel good with themselves. So what made you transition out of that?
It wasn't fun anymore. I think the world was shifting. You know, it was all, I don't know how many years ago now. Well, honestly, probably it was around 2015, 2016. Things were shifting. I left the business probably 2017. You know, obviously, you know, the whole Route 91, right? Las Vegas, like the whole shooting thing. John and I were there. That completely changed my mindset. You know, it wasn't worth me loading up inventory and going to people's homes that I didn't know anymore. I didn't feel safe. I just lost me. I lost me for a good year during that time. And you know, filling the buckets, right? You can't fill other people's buckets if yours isn't full. Mm-hmm. And mine wasn't. I was going through some major, you know, issues during that time. So I didn't want to do it anymore. And realistically, like, I felt like I served my purpose during that time. And I wanted more. I didn't want to talk about sex anymore. You know, I loved it. You know, and me and my girlfriends, we still do all the time, but I just didn't want to do that anymore. And I think it came, and actually that's so funny because that's how I met John back in 2010. No, not at a party, but in 2010, I met this like super tall, adorable man. And, you know, I was just my 20 something birthday. And he walked in. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I wonder how tall he is. And, you know, we had like a little connecting table. So like our people knew these people who knew these people, and they were all connected at a table. And I was going to go walk up to him and say hi. And as soon as I did that, which is kind of where the story kind of shifts, is I was about to say hi. And this girl's like, oh my gosh, honey, this is AJ, the sex girl. And I'm like, oh my God, like for real. And like, that's how it became. Like, I became the sexpert. Like, that's how that term formed. The sexpert was here, and that's what I did. And it just kind of worked out. And it's all fun and games and so forth. But, you know, when you're sharing that story with, you know, men, right? Because that's very intimidating, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of men that are very intimidated. There's a lot of women that are still pretty gun shy or not comfortable, or, you know, feel like, oh gosh, you know, you shouldn't really talk about that. You know, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, but you know, that's not who I am.
Yeah.
So that, and I had young girls, right? And I mean, those girls probably grew up a little faster than they needed to, but it was just me against me and them. We were the three musketeers.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was doing single mom life, and I was working two jobs, you know, had my career. And then I had my moonlighting job as, you know, this sex life coach. Yeah, the sexpert. It was a lot to handle, you know, and just like with anything, I think you get burned out.
Yeah.
But it didn't change my vision with the way I work with women or talk to them or listen to them. And, you know, one of my girlfriends a long time ago, she's like, I feel like you have like this little cult following. Oh, it's so wrong. That just sounds terrible.
I'm pretty sure I feel the same way. Yeah. I think that people just meet you and they know that they can trust you. They know they could call you at any time. They know they could show up at your house and you'd be like, absolutely, come in. What do you need? Anything you need, I'm here.
I'll take care of you. I will take care of you.
Yeah.
But with that, you know, and, you know, I always listen to your podcast and so forth, and I thought your last one was pretty funny. you know, it takes a special person to do that, right? Not everybody can handle everybody's baggage.
Yeah.
I think it takes a person that can also respect your own boundaries, right? Like, yes, I'm here for you and I love you so much, and I'm going to help navigate some of those waters you might be, you know, treading in, but I won't self-sacrifice myself.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's what's so important with any kind of women coaching or empowerment or whatever it is. I mean, I'm packing up my house right now, but, you know, the amount of self-help books, right, over the last 20 years I have read, and, you know, even written a couple books, my husband walked in. He's all, does that say how to get any man to love you? And I said, oh, it sure does. Yeah. Yeah. He's all, did you read that? I'm all, oh, yeah, it sure does. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know when, yeah, but at some point. He's all, is that how you got me? I'm all, oh, yeah, probably. Yeah, I'm a witch. You know, like, it is so funny.
I love witches.
You know? Yeah, but I, you know, I pass out books, or yeah, I have references or resources or whatever, whatever the issue is, right? Maybe a money issue. And I feel like the friendships that we develop, you and I, is because we have been through experiences that help to sprinkle onto other people, right? Like, we've words of wisdom. I'm not going to overwhelm you. Yeah. I'm not going to give you too much, but, you know, they listen. They listen and it works. I'm like, oh shit. Like, you know what you're talking about? Like,
well, I think that we both had, you know, in separate times, crazy, we've done a lot of crazy shit in our lives. So there's just not a whole lot that's going to surprise me, I guess.
Right.
Or you. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah. And I think people feel safe knowing that, like, okay, I don't feel like I'm going to be judged because they've, you know, had a crazy past. And
yeah, right. I don't care, right? It doesn't, yeah, impact my life. I, yeah, mean, you know, it's, you know, if you came up to me like, oh, you know, like, I really want to get off the crack pipe, be like, all right, well, let me get you some resources. I mean, you know, well,
that's not going to happen recently because, well, Biden's thing with the whole free crack pipe. So.
Yeah. That's why I use that. That's why I use that. But you know what I mean? I mean, yeah, it's one of those like, okay, well, you know, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like for women, I mean, go back to countries, right? Like, countries that empower women or, you know, nourish like female relationships. Guess what? There's a lot more peace in those countries, mm-hmm, right? Or think of your household. You know, I'm talking real global, but like even narrowing it down, I think women have a intuition to themselves that sometimes we don't trust and we don't, yeah, listen to it.
Yeah.
And so when you can like remove the muck and the shit that's in your way and you're like, hey, you know what? That doesn't feel good in my soul. Or you know what? That's really bothering me. Have a 5-minute uncomfortable conversation.
Yeah.
And guess what? You clear the way and you feel a million times better. People don't do that though, right? They don't feel empowered. They don't know how to. And, you know, I think that's why having these talks is really great. You have to be able to help those people that need it or want it, you know.
Yeah.
I try not to give too much unsolicited advice, but, you know, you and I were the same. We're oversharers.
Always.
We give them a lot.
And I'm like, oh, you want to know about this? Sure. Take a seat. Let's, yeah, have a chat.
Yep.
How much time, yeah, you got, yeah, girl?
Yeah. I got 2 bottles of champagne. At least we're good for an hour.
Oh, God. Oh, good.
Hey, that's
times.
How I repaired my relationship with my ex-husband's wife, right? Like, over champagne and brunch and, you know, guess what? Best friends now. So,
which is so crazy. Like, you guys did not. So Amanda is divorced, her ex-husband and current wife. The wife did not like you, right? You are.
Well, but, I didn't like her,
yeah,
either. Let's,
yeah,
be real.
It was both.
It was definitely mutual.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then did you start up that conversation like, hey, we need to sit down because we've got kids involved in this? Or how did that even happen?
God. No. You know what? I actually think it was more. I mean, it was both of us. Like, it was his grandma had passed away. She was always like, hey, wave the white flag, right? And I was like, yeah, I'm a big mama bear. That ain't happening. Yeah. I don't give a shit who you are. She passed, and that was heartbreaking for our entire family. And it was right along the lines, I think it was around Faith and Riley's. It was 2015 maybe that was. And they had big birthdays, right? 13 and 16 birthday. And I think she had reached out to me and was like, hey, what are you planning for the girls' birthday? And there was a moment I'm just like, I don't give none of your fucking business, you know, because I'm an asshole. I don't know what to tell you, you know, like as sweet as I can be. I mean, these are my girls.
Yeah.
And it's always been the three of us going back to that. But anywho, so from that point, I was like, all right, you know what? In my head, I hear Granny like wave the white flag. Right. And I'm like, all right, like, let's just do this olive branch shit. See what even happens. And I remember Nick even saying to me, he's like, I just want you guys just to get along. Like, just be cordial, like get along. And I'm like, all right. Okay.
Now
right.
He's eating those.
So I
words.
Invited her to. Yeah. Oh. Well, I mean, we're all moving to Tennessee together. So, I mean, there you go. So if that tells you anything. And we, gosh, if you're listening to this, sorry about it, but sharing our story. We went to brunch and we got there and I think, like, I don't know, in Tennessee, leaving to PM. And then we, 10:30 to 6 p.m. So we got pretty drunk.
Damn.
And I can't tell you the amount of. And she motherfucked me for sure. Like, she's like, fucking hate you. I fucking hate you. I fucking hate you. If I could probably be a millionaire with all the I fucking hate you that day. And I just took it.
Yeah.
I just listened at that point. Like, there was nothing more I could say. You know, I mean, she had every right to feel the way that she felt. And, you know, we got past the 6 o'clock hour and she's like, hey, let's go back to your house. And I was like, okay. In the midst of all this, neither one of us had answered our phones. So that funny. So now I'm sure both of our husbands are like, oh my God, who's in jail? Who killed who? Yeah. What's going on? We ended up back at my house. And I remember walking up and John's expression was like,
oh,
oh my God, what is happening? I mean, if I could give you any inclination of like our relationship before that, I mean, it was pure just if looks could kill, just plotting each other's death, right? I mean, it was just so bad.
Yeah.
And nobody even knows why. I mean, I'm sure I didn't make it any easier. And so we hung out at my house and I think finally John took her home, I don't know, like 10 p.m. So we had 12 hours together. And since then, I mean, literally, that's what, 7 years ago, 6 years ago, something like that, we've inseparable. So we've been best friends ever since and can't imagine my life without her. I mean, she's literally the godmother of my 2-year-old.
Yeah.
So
it's so crazy. It's just,
I know.
So, okay, did they buy a house next to you? Are you guys living together?
No, we're, I mean, I wish that would have happened, but no, we're about 40 miles away.
Okay.
So it's not too bad.
And they're moving around.
I mean, it's
around.
Not 2 miles like we are now, but
yeah,
it's right around the corner.
Yeah.
That just needs more sleepovers.
Yeah, obviously. And 40 miles, it's like, okay, just turn on a good podcast or whatever and you go hang out.
That's right. Yeah. Listen to Say What?
Yeah, obviously. Obviously.
Yeah. But it goes back to empowerment, right? Yeah. I mean, going back to empowerment, I mean, circles always back to that. Like, you have to nourish your friendships. Call your sister, right?
Yeah.
Who is your sister? Like, it's not always blood. I mean, you know, like,
yeah.
I'm the first one to tell you, it is not always blood. It is your sister or your family. It's people that you can count on in a time of need. And more people need to talk about it, I think. Mm-hmm. More people need to be that person. You know, if you want that in your life, you need to be that person for other people.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of people are closed off, right? They don't trust people. They don't want to share their information. They don't want to be hurt. Listen, with hurt comes grace, and with grace comes love. And you've got to be able to feel all of those emotions with someone. I say you're not even really friends until you have your first true fight,
yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah,
it's how you get over those obstacles that matter.
Which I was listening to a podcast. So Aubrey Marcus has a podcast that I always listen to. And he gets pretty deep. He's very spiritual. He does all kinds of like meditation and these retreats and all kinds of stuff. And he had, there was a medium on that he had. And there was like a whole thing with their talking to the spirit guides and, you know, yada, yada.
Yeah. So my favorite. I love it.
Yeah. Same here. And I was like jotting down notes, like copious notes. So one of the things that he said, though, was I was just blown away by so many things. But you think about like all the shit that we've all been going through for 2 years and all the things that have happened in those 2 years. And so he was just talking about how, you know, if we want to change the world, right, you can't put someone in darkness, because when you put someone in darkness, they pull you back into darkness. So everything basically needs to be healed. To be healed, you have to bring it to light, right? Which is hard to do, especially with women. And I have this conversation with Alan all the time. Like, women just don't communicate the same. And you watch your daughters, and I watch Gianna and Jalen and the issues that they fight about. It's just not, it's not the same thing. And I don't know why women can't just have a face-to-face conversation and like, okay, what you did really pissed me off. I'm super frustrated. It's just this weird, like, wall. I don't know.
I get it.
Yeah. And he was just, I mean, so many things. He was talking about like, you know, we're all of the same source, right? So your brother and your sister, everybody in this world, we're all functioning together as one divine being, right? And so there's this huge division right now, but that's not how we're supposed to live our life. We're supposed to live as one whole. You know, you can have disagreements, but not hate each other for that. But anyways,
my girls are going through that right now.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep, same thing, right? Like a sister, it's a sister miscommunication, and neither one of them wants to be the first to apologize, right? They don't want to, I mean, well, I think it's all friendships, but I think of those dynamics, like I've raised you to understand that pride is not power,
right?
Right? When you are prideful, that is the opposite of being, what's the right word I'm looking for?
Like if you're,
oh gosh, why can't I think of it?
Like vulnerable.
Yeah. Accepting. But like compassionate. Yeah. That's what I was looking for. Yeah. So when you're being a compassionate person, you're listening, you know, people, you know, confuse sympathy, empathy. So if I'm being empathetic, it's putting myself in the other person's shoes. Like I may be wrong. And there, trust me, like I think I've been wrong one time, but I think I was mistaken. So, you know,
obviously I've same circumstance.
I'm an Aries. So, you know, I'm never wrong. And I'm type A, go figure. But when you can be empathetic, when you can be compassionate and you can take your ego and your pride out of a situation, and maybe you feel in your heart of hearts, you were not wrong, but you sit down and you apologize. You're not apologizing for you being wrong.
Yeah.
You're just apologizing for the fact that this happened between us and we can agree to disagree and we can still move forward.
Right.
Right. And I do my best to raise my girls that way. I mean, they're the future. Female future, right? That's going to be the world. We're going to take it over. And, It's hard. I think we all get so caught up in egos. And going back to the last 2 years, right? The world has been in a dysfunctional level.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just a shit show. And people are not compassionate. And they're rude. And they're misguided. And unfortunately, they have bought into this whole media frenzy nonsense. And we forgot to listen to our gut mm-hmm. and our instinct again.
Yeah.
So I think people need to sit down and have those conversations. Again,
yeah,
like this, you know, we just talk it out, brain dump.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's just a strange dynamic, the whole world, everything right now, and I don't know if it's like gonna take a woman. It doesn't necessarily need to be a woman in charge because you've got all other issues yeah. with that, right? With the whole emotional.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And,
oh, for sure.
Yeah. That doesn't necessarily mean we need a woman in charge. I'm not saying yeah. that's a bad thing. I'm just saying something needs to shift, right? And I do think this year it will. I keep saying, like, this is the year of transformation. I don't know why I feel that way. I don't know why I'm mm-hmm. saying that. That's just what it feels like. And I don't know if that just, I mean that for me or if I mean that for the whole world, but...
No, we got transformation is a tricky word, though.
I know.
Gotta be careful with that
one,
right?
Like, I know.
I mean, that could be
could be bad or good. I'm looking for the good, positive side of things.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, so, you know, just in general, I mean, think of what, you know, we've been through when, you know, both of us have lost our dads in the last, you know, year-ish.
Yeah.
And that in itself changes perspectives. Makes you value or hope to makes you value the world a little bit differently, the people that you love the most, right? That's transformational.
Yeah.
Right. It's perspective. You're shifting your perspective in that area. Taking myself out of California and putting me into a town that I know not one person.
Yeah.
Right. Like that will be transformational.
Yeah.
However, I got to admit, I've already created a Facebook group and I have 7 new friends in there. So,
look, I know you will not have a problem having a shit ton of friends. And they'll be real friends that you can connect with or disconnect. You know what I mean? Like, because growing up, sometimes you feel obligated to still be friends with certain people, even though you've kind of grown apart, or at least I do, right? And
I know what you're talking about.
It's hard to set those boundaries sometimes. Just because you want to, you live on those memories of the way that things were.
They're romanticize just, them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a bad breakup, right? Like you break up and then it's been like 6 months. You're like, oh, but remember when we did that
I
together?
Know.
Oh, and you forget about all the shit after that one thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's definitely not me, unfortunately. So I used to do the whole bless and release thing, right? Oh, you know what? You pissed me off. I'm done. Boom, boom, boom. And I was like, well, that's not really having a lot of emotional maturity either, right? Yeah. Because you didn't sit down and tell that person what you did and what you didn't. But with that comes balance of, is it worth it?
Yeah.
you know, is it worth sitting down? Will it change the situation? And will it feel not amazed that that person does go their own ways? You know, we don't have to hate each other, but, you know, it just doesn't work out anymore. It might have, but it doesn't anymore.
Yeah.
And obviously I'm thinking of something very specific right now, but friendships in general.
Yeah.
And moving to this new town and creating these new, and I'm quote, they're Facebook friends. Let's be real clear. We haven't even met yet. So, but it's just nice to be all, hey, you know what? Where can I go for Botox? Where can I go for the dentist? Where can I go and do brunch? And to have at least some resources, you know, that are there. I think that will be important for me. And I think it's important for anyone to have resources.
Yeah.
You know, whether they be friends or people you reach out to. That's good.
Yeah. I think you just can figure out who you vibe with and then who is going to be too much work.
Oh, yeah. Well, you and I are energy people for sure, right? Like, I mean, we'll pour all of it into somebody, but the moment they start taking from us, like, we're tapped out for a couple of days.
Yeah.
You know, it's that light again. You've got to create some space for yourself. I think that's what I'm looking forward to the most, right? Is like, I have never really, like, I'm the host, right? The matriarch of the family.
Yeah.
I do everything. I do the Christmas and the Easters and the Thanksgiving.
You always have, even at a young age.
Yeah.
Even when you were a kid.
Yeah. And I think Faith was born. I mean, we were young. Oh, gosh. We had to be in our early 20s. I think I was probably still married or maybe divorced. I'm not really sure at that point. But I remember sitting in your, like, where the pool table was, right?
Yeah.
And it was Christmas time, and your mom's literally showing me how to make the bows, right?
Yeah.
So in my family, everybody knows, like, I'm the bow person. And the presents don't go under the tree or get delivered without the bow, you know? It's my favorite, because now even my girls, I tell the story probably every year. I'm going to be that grandma that's like, so these bows, I have to tell you.
They're going
to
be like, we know.
Oh, gosh. But it's important, because now I'm taking myself out of that element where I'm the matriarch leading the family, and I'm going into this other place, and I'm wondering where the dominoes are about to fall.
Yeah.
Right? Like, am I the domino that sets everything off and everybody starts to go with me?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, so I don't know. That's scary.
It is. I think it's good for you, though. Just
Well,
knowing,
you were the domino.
Yeah. I sure was. My mom swore she's coming in after you. She swore she wasn't going to move to Boise. I will never leave California. Now she's like, I'm never going back to California.
That's right.
I mean, she loves the beach.
She comments on my stuff all the time. She's like, run, go.
I know. She just didn't understand until we got here. And I, for whatever reason, I just saw it coming. And I remember having this conversation with Jackie Brown before we moved. And I was like, I just don't have a good feeling. I know something's coming, and I know something is going to happen, and I don't know how to explain it. I don't have, like, these spiritual things. I just have these intuitions, and something is telling me I need to go now. And my mom, you know, there was nothing to show for the shit that was changing. My mom was like, I don't understand. Why would you take the kids? Blah, 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 blah. And now she's like, I get it. Okay, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you have to do what you need to do.
But, you know, again, it's quality. It's just what's important to me now, right? What was important to us, you know, 15 years ago is not the same. It has shifted. You know, you have a college-bound kid. You've got, you know, up-and-comings. And the same thing here. It's like, I always said, I don't want to get stuck here in California. I just never wanted to. And I knew that if I didn't change something soon, I wanted to wait for the middle one, you know, Riley to graduate high school. And she did in December, thank God. And
oh, she graduated early?
She graduated early. Yeah. Yeah.
Goodness.
So, yeah. Whew.
yes.
We got that done. And so it was like, as soon as I knew that was happening, it was like the green light, go. Right. And I'm like, I'm going, like, that's it. There's nothing stopping me now.
Yeah.
And, you know, family, friends, neighborhood, all of that, that just was as important as it is. It wasn't more important than my marriage and the upbringing of Harlow.
Yeah.
Like, at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, our backyard is backed up to a golf course with deer. Like, I'm going to wake up and see deer in the morning. Like, come on.
Yeah.
When's that? I wake up to see the fucking freeway right now.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
I wake up to zooms on the freeway at 2:00. Now I'm going to wake up to you know, lightning bugs and
I know that's going to be so cool.
Nature noises.
You just get to drink your coffee, watch the little deer prance around on the golf course.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like,
absolutely.
This is life.
It's going to be amazing.
This is life.
Yeah. 1.5 acres, dude. 1.5 acres.
That's amazing.
On a lake, on a golf course. It's going to be the most beautiful community. And already, I mean, we've been out there, I don't know. We were out there for like 9 days, something like that. We went to that neighborhood like 3 times. Every time, like, I don't want to leave.
Yeah.
You know, so perspective. You just have to find out what fills your bucket, what makes you feel good, right? The joy, the happy, the calm, the re-energized. Those are the things you should be focused on,
mm-hmm.
you know, instead of feeling, I mean, I'm sure you felt the same way. And I'm sure anybody's listening, like the moment you start to feel that anxiety and that, you know, pull that something's just not right. And, you know, I said, gain weight for the right reasons, don't gain weight for the wrong reasons, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, you're drinking or eating bad to suppress whatever feelings you're not feeling good on. Why are we giving so much energy to those things?
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to fix them. You're just not. I mean, you can attempt, but you've got to fix yourself.
Yeah, I think so many people in California, like, because we were born and raised there, right? So people get mm-hmm. stuck. And if you've never left, you mm-hmm. think that it is the world, that California is the world. Mm-hmm. It's not. It functions very mm-hmm. differently. I mean, and I don't want to go down the whole rabbit hole with the pandemic, but like you look at how it's functioning right now and the true mm-hmm. colors are showing. This is the true California. Unfortunately, you know, all this shit is coming up. It's, but the rest of the nation doesn't function like that. It's very different. Like the traffic, the people, like here when I moved to Idaho, I remember like walking on the greenbelt and people were saying, oh, hi, oh, nice to meet you. Then people, you put your blinker on, people let you over. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Are they, what? Oh, hi. And then they wave. Sure, yeah, come on over. I'm like, I don't know what to do. Okay, thank you. But it's just, yep. It's just a different world.
So my dad, when my dad passed in October, we flew out to Wyoming. And that was the start, I think, of my ripple, right? Mm-hmm. Was literally life stopped, went out to Wyoming, made the 17-hour drive, got there, and I got so immersed, and I was there an entire week, living in the Days Inn, you know, while we handled everything. The people, right? It was the people and the mentality and the, hey, wow, people are good and nice mm-hmm. and truly want to help. And this town had, I don't know, like 700 people, like Worland, Wyoming, tiny blip on the map. And I just remember leaving there and the mountains, right? Just everything was just beautiful. It was just absolutely gorgeous in October. And John and I are both like, there's much more out there. Mm-hmm. There's much, much more. And then he made the trip in November to Tennessee, which was always, you know, aside from Idaho, you know, just because I want to be, you know, your next door neighbor.
I mean, but I would love that.
Aside from that. Yeah. We know how that goes. Now it's like he got out to Tennessee and he saw what I saw. You know, it wasn't just Broadway on Nashville. It's like, oh my gosh, there's so much more, right? East Tennessee, it's beautiful. And that is what we were missing here, right? Mm-hmm. You're just immersed in everyone else's shit mm-hmm. where now you can appreciate the beauty of, you know, what's out there.
Yeah. I'm so excited for you guys. Oh,
I know, me too. It's going to be amazing. Yeah.
Oh
yeah,
gosh.
I mean, we can do the Nashville thing. Totally. We'll do the Broadway. We'll come in and we'll do a night out there. But then it's like, I don't know. I'm just looking forward to just slowing down a little bit, right?
Yeah.
I want to appreciate as much time as I have left. So, and that can be any time at this point, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think, like, you know, with your dad and that tragic loss and then my dad, there's always like, you think of these things in life that, like almost shift you to a different direction. Like the universe is trying to redirect you. And unfortunately it's sometimes losing people that you care about. And that just shifts your perspective. That shifts the road that you're on. And shitty as it is.
Well, you know, you have family, right? My family's so blended, you know, I have a half sister and I have a full blooded sister and I have 2 stepbrothers who are my brothers. Don't even consider them stepbrothers, right? Like such a blended family. And having all of that still as important as that is to me, I just feel like us making a change, you know, I mean, one of my brothers moved to Texas, right? That was huge. That was like, we couldn't even fathom that a few years ago, but when he did, like, wait a minute, you're leaving the family? How dare you? And now I totally get it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. I didn't leave the family. Yeah. Trust me. I am just changing my perspective.
Yeah. And that's the conversation I had to have with my mom. It was just like, yeah. I'm not leaving you behind. We're still all family, but I need to think about my kids and them growing up, yeah, and their well-being. And yeah, I had a conversation with one of the other reps this morning about, I always say I'm a political refugee in Idaho. And she's like, I really struggle with people saying that because I dated a real true refugee where, like, he lost his mom when they were trying to get across the water. And I know, I was like, okay, so I respect that. You know, I respect that. I appreciate you being honest about that. And I don't understand because I've never been a refugee. But I said, in my mindset, the way that I'm using the word, it's not like a third world country. I'm a political refugee, but for my children, right? For them and their well-being and their safety, because, you know, shit's weird right now, especially in California. So for me, that's the way that I felt, and that's still how I feel, and I don't think it's going to get any better anytime soon, unfortunately, there.
No, I don't either.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I don't see any changes being made. And, you know, and people love it. You know what? And I have friends, right, that, you know, I don't care if you're red or blue or, you know, right or left or, you know, anything like that. Great. I think we can have our difference of opinions. Who love it here? Who could never imagine leaving? And that's great. You know, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's for the majority or, you know, like-minded people. That's kind of my focus too. Like, right, going, you know, I know we have a few minutes left, but back to people in your circle, women in general, when you are with like-minded people, your energy just vibes.
Yeah.
But then it's okay to have some of those differences of opinions, but they can't. I want to be very delicate when I say this.
just say it, girl.
Fuck. I know fucking people are listening. You know, but to end friendships over shit that literally is a difference of opinion, I think is so bullshit, you know? Wow. And it's like, it makes you question, were we truly friends or was that all a facade?
Mm-hmm.
And as we are getting older, I think it's very important, like, yes, I agree with A, you agree with B, still love you, fantastic, and move forward. It's not defining who we are as people.
Yeah.
So I think when you're hanging out with like-minded people, you're supposed to have some discord a little. Like, you should. There should be, you know, we're not all fucking Stepford.
Yeah.
You know, you like M&Ms and I like peanut M&Ms. You can't stand peanuts. It doesn't matter. You know what? We still can go to the fucking movies and agree to watch the same movie. Like,
there's so many other things to talk about and to experience and to do together.
Yes, 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 absolutely. I know those are a little squirrely, but you know what I'm saying.
It's just,
it mind boggles me when I hear of so many relationships ending for what I would imagine is just miscommunication or a misunderstanding when there's so much more to the world and to life and to friendships and to family where it's like, you know what? That could have probably been handled with a 5-minute face-to-face conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and the text message back and forth, I can't get down with it.
No.
It's just stuff.
It's,
you know,
just so, like, it's a wall to hide behind, right? It's easy. You don't have to hear the people's intonations. You don't have to hear their frustrations because you can't really read that in text. I mean,
there's
that
no emotion.
Ugh.
I can send you the best emoji ever, and then I can send you like a little mean face. All of a sudden, it totally changes.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Or vice versa.
Yeah.
It's just not. I'm a human connection person. Again, I go off a vibe. I go off of energy. I go off of my emotion, and that's just who I am. And so I think if we are all a little bit more vulnerable with ourselves, then I think that the ripple effect that will stream across any female friendship will be essential. So,
yeah. Well, and both you and I struggle with that emotion part. Like, we're, we can be bitchy, and that's about it right there.
Yeah. I'm mainly bitchy, I think.
Yeah, I don't think so. You are not. I mean, if someone's getting your bitchy side, I'm certain they deserve it.
Oh, that's, yeah. I always tell, I think my best quote is, I'm an Aries woman which means that I'm fire sign, which means I always have my pilot lit.
Oh,
right?
I love that.
Yes. And what you get is you could have a nice backyard roast. You could have a nice warm fire, or you could have a fucking wildfire. Depends on what kind of gasoline you put on me. So you have to look in the mirror
and check out
what kind of gasoline you're throwing. But I'm always lit. Always lit.
Always.
In more ways than one.
Oh, my God. That is literally the best ever. That's such a good just analogy. Oh, my God. It's kind of on topic, but one of my neighbors is friends, and I don't know what she does. She does like readings, and she's not really a medium, but she kind of is. She works with energy. And so I was like, yeah, I would love to talk to her. So she's going through and she's like, I work with a deck of cards, like playing cards. And mm-hmm. I go based off of your birthday. And so she's like, okay, you're December 1st. You are a Sagittarius. You're a 4 of diamonds. She's like, oh, girl, you do not like to be put in a box. I was like, no, that is the worst thing to do to me. Don't give me all the rules. Mm-hmm. I will die. That just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
She went through all these things. And then she asked me, like, you know, what do you want to know more about? And I asked her different questions. So we went down the rabbit hole with that. And it was interesting. I brought up the whole ex-best friend thing. And this is the last mm-hmm. time I'm literally ever going to talk about this. And she's like, I just asked her, can you just like touch on this? And so I hear her with the cards, and I didn't say, I just asked her, my ex-best friend. That's all I said. Mm-hmm. And I hear her go, oh, wow. Woo. Okay. All right. So, she's like, I see like a victim role. Someone is feeling very sorry for themselves and like a victim. And I just started laughing. I mean, it's so inappropriate, but I started laughing. Yeah. Like, okay. And she's like, so the problem is I see, lack of communication. Someone doesn't want to take ownership of the way they've handled things. And I was like, okay. And she's like, and the result of this is, complete finality. Someone is completely done. And so she's like, okay, do you want to elaborate on this? Where are we with this whole situation? So I told her, explain the whole situation. And I was like, I just feel super blindsided. And she's like, oh, this makes so much sense. So
mm-hmm.
she said, when you feel like that, when you feel blindsided by something, like, what the hell? I didn't see this coming. This makes no sense. And I said, I feel like I'm a logical person. Like, if someone came to me and said there were obvious signs, you know, you should have seen this, that, and the other, or maybe you're just seeing your side, but everybody doesn't know what the fuck happened. And she said, that is, mm-hmm. that's the way the universe is shifting for you. So the universe is taking her out of your life because she is not good for your life. The direction that you're going, mm-hmm. she needs to be removed. So it was a shift that felt sudden and startled and kind of hurtful, but it's a shift that kind of needed to happen in your world. And I was like, oh, okay. So she said, it's a new moon. You're going to write down all the things you forgive her for. You're going to write down all the things you forgive yourself for, and you light that shit on fire. And I was like,
yep.
Yes, girl. Yep. I went outside. I mm-hmm. did it. Alan was probably like, here she goes with her witchcraft, but
no.
It was good.
Hey, you know,
it was good.
It's the candle ceremony. You know, the two candles, and there's something that binds you together. It's like the unbinding ceremony. It's very, very cleansing. And so it's basically you're representing one flame, that thing you're letting go or separating, a lot of like, you know, breakups, that type of thing. And I truly believe anytime a sister relationship breaks up, I think it's worse than sometimes death.
Yeah.
Right. It's heart wrenching. I mean, I've been destroyed by two specific women where I'm just like, I will never trust another woman again. But yeah. You know, then you do.
Yeah.
Then you do. Then you relight your fire and fuck it.
Yeah.
But you have to go through it, right? It's like grief. Anyways, the candle ceremony, you're one, the other person's the other one, you light it, and then you can watch, and you actually watch the relationship as it goes and who pulls away and who goes through. It's wild.
Really? I've never done that.
Yeah.
So it's called candle binding?
Unbinding.
Oh, unbinding. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'll have to Google that. But yeah, something like that. Yeah. It's pretty neat. But I mean, I love all that, you know, like oracle cards and anything that's positive energy. You know, worst case, someone told me this the other day. Church, that got brought up, right? And not to go any religious by any means, but they said, you know, are you going to find a church, whatever? And I said, yeah. And she's all, here's my thought on church. She's all, church is for people who don't want to go. Spirit is them if it keep going forward.
Yeah.
I'm all, oh, for, yep. Been there. Don't want to go back.
Yeah.
So I think if you can keep pressing forward and find the things that bring you light and positivity and good energy and good vibes, that's the stuff you've got to keep in your life.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Keep that warm by the fire.
I do. Yeah. And like the guy I was listening to today, I was like, oh my God, so much of this is resonating with me and what I am thinking. And like, you get so stuck in social media and all this chaos, right? But mm-hmm. when I take myself out of that, I feel so much better. And I'm sure everybody does, right? Like, you just live your, it's not that you're being naive to it. It's just like, I don't want to put my energy into that. And I don't want my energy sucked out by that. I just don't, we're just not going to do mm-hmm. that. Oh, so one other thing he said that I loved. So he said, if you want something for the envy of someone else, then you're channeling fear. You can't do something to like live up to someone else or to compare to someone else. And he talked about like families, right? Like you grow up and you know, I still find myself doing this. Like you want to make your parents happy. You're constantly seeking that approval. Not that mm-hmm. you need it, but it's like an inherent thing that you're kind of naturally doing, right? But he said, as you grow, you just need to tap into your own intuition and to your own power and to the things that make you happy, whether it makes anybody else around you happy. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? Yes, I do.
Fuck, I feel like I did that at 15.
I know. But it's like waves, right? I feel like I always go through waves of, yes, I'm feeling spiritual.
It ebbs and flows, yeah, for sure.
And then I mm-hmm. crash and burn. Yeah. Not really crash and burn, but you know what I mean. Yeah.
But the expectations I think we have for ourselves as well, right? Like, okay, like I know I have, quote, everyone says, you know, have a plan. Yeah, that's funny. You have a plan in your life and then something doesn't go according to, quote, your plan. You're like, God, what a failure. Oh my gosh, I had such better expectations. And like, oh God, would that make my parents proud? Or, oh, you know, would my spouse be disappointed in that? Like all of these different things. And then you self-pity, right? And then you go down your own little dark hole of, you know, despair and hard to get back, right? Like, I was doing super good, like weight loss, you know, I mean, that's huge, right? Doing super, super, super good. So great. Got down to like almost my goal weight, got pregnant, did the IVF thing, had the baby, got a little bit down again. And then, right, dad dies and I go right back up again, like full blown. And even literally this morning before I even knew I was going to be on this podcast, I'm like, what is wrong with me? Like, why can't you just get your life together? Like, you know what you need to do. Mm-hmm. And I looked at myself in the mirror going, who are you talking to?
Yeah.
That is not how my friend talks to herself.
Yeah.
Like, you better get your life together, lady. You know? And it's just those little like things you have to hear, like the ideal voice in your head's like, oh gosh, I wish I could do this better. And the other one's like, oh no, you need to be a little bit louder. So, you know, self-love.
Well,
what's the high five? It's a high five book. You ever heard of that?
The high five method.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one I said to you.
Oh, you told me about that.
Yes. I love it.
Yes, you know what? About that.
I was, so someone reached out to me and they're like, okay, what are your goals?
Cause and
you're
I fucking
like,
love it, by the way.
It's awesome, right? At first I was like, high five habit. Oh my God. I love high fiving people, but write a book about it. And she goes into all the science of it. And then she dives deep and I'm like, okay, I didn't expect to be crying when I'm listening to this book. So what the fuck?
Oh, I was like 10 minutes into it. I was listening to it. I'm like, oh God. Oh, thanks, Vanessa. Yeah.
But she talks,
for sure.
I mean, she even talks about that in that book is like, and I was thinking about this the other night. The same thing happened with my dad. COVID and then my dad passed. And it was like, I kind of lost myself for a little while. And you just have to find that drive again, right? Find that motivation. So the other night I was like, you know, I'm having this self conversation, right? So you show up for everybody else. Why can't you just show up for yourself? Like, why can't you show up and work out? Why can't you show up and make a smoothie? Why can't you show, like, you give everybody else the energy, but then you don't pour back into your own self. Mm-hmm. So it was just I was having a one-on-one moment with myself. I was like, get your shit together.
Yes.
I dove deep and then I was like, bitch slap. Okay, wake up.
Yeah. settle down, ladies, settle down. And right now I'm looking at my vision board, right? I made my vision board. That was my going into 2021 vision board, and I've had it up in my office. And I usually make one every year. You know, like that's just always my go-to. Yep. And I keep looking at it, and they always say, like, anytime your vision board doesn't bring you like inspiration or joy or whatever, like you need to change things out. And I look at it, I'm all, there's not one thing I would change on it from this year.
Yeah.
Like, I've accomplished those things, but now I want to do it again.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Or yeah. Do it better.
Yeah.
So we should only be in competition with ourselves. That's it. You know, you shouldn't be comparing. You shouldn't be living up to the Joneses standards. You know, yeah. Fuck that Jones family. You don't know what's happening over there behind closed doors.
The Jones family's got some fucked up shit. And,
you know? Yeah. She's in debt. She's a drinker. The kids fail in school. I mean, you know, they look real pretty with their white picket fence, but fuck that Jones family.
Okay, so speaking of this, before we wrap this up, you need to listen to the Murdoch Murders podcast to get into the Jones family. So this is like an ongoing investigation right now in South Carolina. So it's Murdaugh, but they say Murdoch, like that's how they pronounce it.
Okay.
Huge family. In South Carolina, they've been, they call them, oh my God, what do they call them? They're like judges and lawyers, but they call them it's a different word in South Carolina. But it's generations of these, I'm not going to do a racist thing, but they're white males that have basically used this power in almost over a century. And they are, the current dad right now is in a fuck ton of shit right now. His wife was ironically killed along with their son, and it's just uncovered like Pandora's box. It's wild.
Oh wow.
It's ongoing. He's still on trial. He's still in jail, and they are just uncovering one thing after another. Like he has some island off of South Carolina that he owned with a drug smuggler, and it's wild. It's just crazy.
All right. So I'll download
listen
that.
To it. But
I'll
now speaking
put it
of
on
the
John's
Joneses
phone too, because he's going to be moving. He's taking our first haul this weekend, so I'll put it on his phone too, so he can listen to podcasts. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I'm excited. This was fun, friend. Thanks so much for inviting me.
We'll do it again, and then maybe you'll be physically here to do it one time, or we can take it on the road. I don't know.
Yeah. Why not?
Figure it out. Well, I love you, and I love your
too,
face, and I love all your energy and all that stuff.
Love you more, girl. I wouldn't do this life without you, and. You know, I still talk about, like, you were the first girl that, you know, popped my sushi cherry and always remember your first sushi experience. And I could not have gotten this far without your friendship. So I love you and cherish you.
Agreed. Agreed. Well, you have
right,
the
friend.
Best day.
Soon.
And tell the fam hi.
Bye.
Bye.
That's it. All right, time's up, people. Hope you enjoyed yourselves as much as we did.
Yeah, come find us on social media, on Instagram, Say What Podcast 2021. Give us a follow. If you have questions or topics you want us to cover, you can slide that right into our DM.
Slide it in like butter, baby.
And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, leave us a review.
Cheers.